something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mara here, and on the line we've got the fabulous Brendan O'Carroll. Good morning, Brendan, how are you?
Good morning, Trina Mara, and hello to everybody at Classic Hits. How are you all doing there?
We're doing great. Are you in Florida right now?
I am, unfortunately, and it's very depressing because it's 32 degrees and sunny.
Oh no, my heart's bleeding. Well listen, you might be in Florida, but I'm going home to a cuddle. Which you are not going home to.
There you go, you see. You can't be a cuddle.
Come here to me. Can you actually settle a bet for me? Because you're a true dub. What goes into a cuddle?
Potatoes, bacon and sausages.
Yeah, and what else?
Parsley. Parsley, thyme, and a bit of water.
Bit of water,
no great. Yeah, no Bisto. Don't put anything like that in it.
No.
It has to be white.
Yeah, because you see, we're having a bit of an argument at home, myself and the hubby, right? Because I grew up with a cuddle that had plum tomatoes out of a tin in it, and he can't get over this. And he grew up with a cuddle that had vegetable soup in it.
Yeah, well, I think both of you need to get a visit from the cuddle police, because that is disgraceful.
So I don't know how it's going to taste. I'm trying to remember the granny's recipe, but it's gone out of my head after all these years. So we'll see how we get on.
I said your mind.
Yeah. Well, listen, she's back. Mrs. Brown. Mrs. Brown's Boys, the musical, Three Arena on the 13th and the 14th and the 15th of December, just before Christmas, and then Belfast in November. I take it you haven't run out of material yet.
No, not yet. And actually, funny enough, you know, I think maybe it's because I'm getting a bit older. This is the funniest one I've written yet. I set out to, and Trina, don't tell anybody else this, but I've never even seen a musical. So I've never been to a theatre that has a musical on, so I've never seen one. So I kind of was trying to write a Mrs. Brown's Boys play with songs. And so the first thing I did was wrote the play first, and then made the songs fit into the play. And the cast were very sceptical when I said I was going to write a musical. All their arses went real tight. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go on. Keep talking.
Sorry, Trina. I thought I'd lost you.
No.
When I told them we were going to write a musical, they were so terrified. And we were scared right up to opening night in the Hydro Arena in Glasgow. We were all terrified. And then standing ovation at the opening night, and Danny, who's my eldest son, who would probably be my biggest critic, you know, he nothing gets past him. He just, in the back, just as we're coming off stage, he put his hand on my shoulder and said, "Dad, this is the funniest thing you've ever written." That was lovely. Mind you, they don't know yet that I'm contemplating Mrs. Brown on ice.
Oh, I'd love to see that. Oh, do you know what, actually, I was at a wedding there last year in Malta, and one of the uncles arrived to the reception dressed as Mrs. Brown. It was the funniest thing we've ever seen. It was brilliant. A whole wedding in Malta full of Irish people and Mrs. Brown up on the dance floor. Those cardigans. The cardigans are magic, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I mean, that's our signature, is our cardigans. And Helen Spain, who's been my dresser since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, since I started in this. Helen sources all the cardigans. And what she does is she buys some beautiful cardigans, and then she knits bits onto them as well and embroiders them.
Oh, right,
them.
Yeah. Because you don't really see that kind of fashion in the shops anymore, Brendan, I have to be honest.
Fashion is a bit of a stretch.
I think you'd have to go up Mead Street and places like that, would you, those little shops to get it? Yeah.
But my ma always wore a cardigan during the day, and then she wore a cardigan at night going to bed, and she used to call it her bed jacket. But it was just another friggin' cardigan.
There's another one that we need to settle it. Never mind the cuddle. What do you call the thing that you put on you when you get out of bed in the morning? What's that called?
The thing you put on you when you get out of bed.
So now I would call it a dressing gown. What would you call it?
Well, a dressing gown. But nowadays they call it a robe.
My other half says it's a morning coat.
Is your other half from Fox Rock or somewhere
else? He's not. He's from Clondalkin.
From Clondalkin? Well, you know, in Clondalkin they all go round in their morning coat, you know?
They do. Well, you see, I'm a Northsider, so you and me are on the same page here. Do you know what I mean? I'm true and true Northside. So the musical, you were saying about Danny saying that this is the funniest thing that you've done. Having the family on board and working with you, I suppose in a way that can be tough as well, because, you know, if they want to go off and do their own thing and maybe not do Mrs. Brown's, have they ever kind of said that to you, that maybe they'd like to?
Yeah, well, they do. I mean, Fiona's done a couple of movies and Danny's done a couple of movies as well. And you know, Danny was very interesting in that Danny was about 15. When we discovered he was, like myself, he was dyslexic, and he was already in secondary. He'd done his junior cert, and he wasn't like in the top 10% or the bottom 10%, but he was there or thereabouts in the middle. And when he was diagnosed with dyslexia, I went to the school and I said, well, he's going to need some extra teaching. And at that time, they didn't provide it. Mm. So coming home in the car from that meeting, Danny said to me, "Dad, look, I know enough to know to be able to read a script, and that's all I want to be is an actor. I just want to be an actor. So, you know what I said? It was coming to the summer holidays. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Danny. I said, I'm going to get a headshot done of you, and I'm going to send it out to any casting agency that I know, and you're going to go out, you're going to do auditions, you're going to see what it's like to be told, no, thank you, you're not big enough, you're not tall enough, you're not fat enough, you're not skinny enough. And you're going to go through all of that, and then see how you feel about being an actor. So I sent it out. He got everything he went for.
Did he?
He got Angela's Ashes. He ended up in about six movies that summer. And I just thought, well, okay, now I have to put some manners on him. So he came on the road, was initially as a runner, literally sweeping the stage.
Learning everything,
Running for messages. And then he went from that to lighting. And then he went from lighting to set building. And then he went from set building then to the acting. And Fiona's done exactly the same. Because it's important, I think, for everybody, not just from family, but for everybody who steps on a stage and takes a round of applause, to understand what goes on behind you to make you look that you're good enough to get a round of applause.
Yeah.
The technical guys, the sound guys, the music guys, the runners, the staff in the arena, everything. There's so many people. Like, it really is the case that if the security man is not on the door in the arena, there's no show. So he's just as important as anybody else.
Yeah.
And they need to understand that, and they do.
And also, you're getting your money's worth.
as far as traveling with the family is concerned, we're not the Waldens by any stretch of the imagination, but we do, we're not the Adams family either, but we do have a great regard for what we do. And because we're so busy, sometimes, you know, every break that we get, I'm sure they're delighted to get a break. I don't think they even think about, oh, I think I'd like to do something in the break. Because we tour Australia, New Zealand, you're touring Canada, the United Kingdom, Ireland. 2020, we've got the UK, the continuation of the UK tour. And then 2021, we've got Australia for 12 weeks. We've got South Africa for 4 weeks. We have Canada for 4 weeks. And then we've East Coast of America for 8 weeks. So, I mean, it just doesn't stop, thank God.
So they have to have all their plans, all their family commitments, everything all in this calendar way in advance if they want to do anything.
And because there's young kids involved, that's why we have to have our own calendar tied down way in advance, because we have to make sure that tutors are available, that the tutors are hired, that the tutors have visas, and that, you know, their travel plans are made for them. We will go on the road with 4 nannies and 3 tutors. How many kids are there now, then,
between the lot of them?
Well, Danny has 2, Fiona has 4.
Who
plays Dermot, he has identical twins. So we've got nine kids. It usually ends up that one of the other people has a kid on the road as well. So we've 9 kids usually on the road. And they're all different ages, so you need different tutors. But it's good education for them because, you know, they get to go to the museums in some of the biggest cities in the world, you know, on their day trips. They stay in touch with the school that they're in. For instance, Danny's kids are in school in Donegal. So they would stay in touch with those every Monday. The kids in Blake's class, for instance, would write them an email about what happened last week, and then Blake would do the same, and then the tutor keeps in touch with the teacher to make sure that they're all on the same page, learning-wise. But it takes a bit of planning because you're 43 in the road altogether.
Oh, my gosh.
between cast and crew, so just even coordinating flights. I mean, you go on a tour of Australia and you have about 20 flights and you're still in Australia. So it takes a bit of doing, but it's fun. It's just on the road. It's a marvellous life.
You're well used to being around so many people, though, being the youngest of 11, aren't you? I mean, your house must have been mad growing up.
Absolutely crazy. Honest to God, I've had sisters that had bras with just one tit in them because they've fought over them and ripped them apart. And being the youngest, of course, I remember my sister sending me up to the chemist for nothing. They sent me up to the chemist with a 50 pence piece and a brown paper bag, and I just go in and hand the bag in and the 50 pence and come back with the bag full with a pillow in it.
How much of your mum, though, was Mrs. Brown? Because she was widowed very young as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was widowed when I was young, but it wasn't that she was young because, again, you know, I was 46 when she was born, so she was...
No, the other way around, Brendan, she was 46 when you were born.
Sometimes I think I was 46 when I was born. I can't, because we're from a big family and a big, often I think dysfunctional, but loving family. It reflects definitely on the Mrs. Brown set of things, without any shadow of a doubt. You know, I used to say, when people say, is Mrs. Brown based on your mother? I used to go, no, no, no. God, my mother was started her life as a nun and then renounced her vows and became a TD and had 11 kids and, you know, no. And then I started to think, you know what? I think Mrs. Brown is my mother without the education. My mother had a bachelor's degree from Galway University. Mm. And Agnes never went, you know, she left school when she was 12. And I think Agnes Brown could be my mother without, certainly without that education, but not without the wisdom.
What's the story with the TV show? Is it gone or is it coming back or what is it? Because there's so many different rumours going around about it.
It's not gone. We just finished. I only got back from Glasgow after recording the two Christmas specials, one for Christmas Day and one for New Year's Day. So we've been doing, I think we're due to do two more Christmas specials in 2020, and then it's up to them whether they renew it or not. But so far, they're very, very happy. It's been in the top. It won, of the last eight Christmases, we won Christmas Day in BBC, six of them, and we've been in the top three in the other two. So they're very, very happy with it. It's become a fixture of the Christmas season. But no, and listen, if they stop repeating it even, it seems to be on every channel every time it's done on the TV.
You're sick of looking at yourself.
Honestly, well, looking at myself in the mirror, looking at your uncle coming to the wedding. But as long as they keep doing it, I'm going to keep making it for them. But other than that, it's not about TV for me. It is about the touring. It's about the live show. It's about being able to... We would go out to the Tree Arena in December and we'd walk out on the stage and we'd be coming home with a story about Moor Street that we've already performed virtually all over the world. Everybody knows where Moor Street is now. And we get a round of applause that just makes you want to cry. It's so loud that your clothes shake on you.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Oh, that's lovely.
And you can't. I would rather die on the stage than stop doing that.
Come here to me, Brendan. Rory leaving annoyed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Did you consider killing off the character at all?
Oh, no. Well, Rory, listen, you know, but probably with the exception of Mrs. Brown, the other characters are just characters. You know, without Mrs. Brown, if Mrs. Brown died, I think we'd be finished. I think the show would be over because at that stage, of course, I write the fucking thing, so of course it'd be over. No, but Rory had been contemplating that for a long time, and you know, he apart from his mother being ill, and that was really, really, you know, his mother was suffering with Alzheimer's, and. And it is that, for those people who are addressing it right now with their family, they know it's a very, very long goodbye. And it's also a really heart-wrenching thing. And it's very hard to keep your concentration and keep your mind on what you're doing when there's that hole in your life. And when you go home, it's not even like losing somebody, you know, to death. Because, you know, you go home and you come back from tour and they're still there. And it's a really, really tough, tough time. So I think that really upset him an awful lot. And as well as that, he also... Rory's first love was radio. I'm surprised he's not doing a radio show now.
Mm.
He said it to me.
He has said it to me, Brendan.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. Cause
I'm watching me back.
His first love was radio and music. And I presume at this stage he would be involved somewhere online. And I wouldn't rule it out yet. But once Rory... And anybody who knows Rory would know this. Once Rory decides on something, there's no... I wouldn't even try and talk Rory out of something. If Rory said to me, I'm packing up everything and I'm going to live in Antarctica, I wouldn't be going, now, Rory, have you thought about this? Because you know Rory. He has thought about it. And he has given it thought. And once he's made his mind up, the decision is final. And... I think he was much more relaxed and felt much better when he was at home by his mother's side. And we miss him desperately, of course we do.
Yeah.
And the audience do. But, you know, Damien's doing a wonderful job as Rory. It's tough. They're hard shoes to fill.
It's really hard for somebody new coming in. It really is,
yeah,
isn't it? In any kind of role to fill.
Yeah, they're big shoes. But as I said to him, I said, I don't want you to be Rory. I want you to be your own Rory. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to be your own Rory and make this part yourself. And thankfully, the musical is the first show that we've done that Rory hadn't played. So he gets to be his own Rory. Damien gets to be his own Rory in this show. And he's fantastic in it. He's brilliant.
Mm. Didn't you come across him years ago? He wasn't initially an actor or anything. Sure he wasn't.
No, he was a professional snooker player.
Isn't that gas?
He's a professional snooker player. But if you know him, he was always an actor or chancer. But he had that devil may care attitude that Rory has, you know, that the character Rory has, that, you know, oh, mammy, I'm worried about it, but really, I'm not really worried, I'll do whatever I like. And he had that, and I kind of said, well, if you can portray that on stage, you're going to be fine. and very, very strongly supported by Gary, who plays Dino. Dino's a great character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How did the Northside people get their plug in? That was my very first job, Brendan. It was delivering the Northside people when I was about 9, I think. I think I was paid about 50 pence or something.
Well, you know, it was the local paper in Finglas, and the show was set in Finglas. So when we approached him and said to him, look, we need you to do copies of headlines for Mrs. Brennan's Boys, no problem whatsoever. They just came on board straight away. And we get a big bundle of newspapers at the start of every season with headlines that either we suggest or sometimes they suggest. Some of them are very funny.
They're gas, some of them,
But the one this year that she's looking at on Christmas Day is that Finglas's rapid rail system is now to be called the Fart. So they're great. And the thing is, it's home, you know, it's a little bit to home. It's nice to make sure, we try and make sure that there's Brennan's bread there, that there's Barry's tea and maybe a Lyons' tea. And make sure that there's Kimberley biscuits on the table. That it's Irish. It's Dublin.
Yeah. Do you miss home ever? I know that Florida is fabulous and it's 32 degrees and all the rest, and life is good.
No. Of course you do. Wherever we're working, it all starts in Dublin. Mm. It all begins in Dublin. So you know, for a week at a time here, a week at a time there, and it's great. It's great to be home and have the family around you. And I try and get home as much as I can for the Irish matches. I'll be home for the 18th, for the match against Denmark. I'll be home for that. So, I do miss it. But you know what? It sounds ridiculous, but honestly, if you've done the flight to Australia once, if you just do it once, do a return flight to Australia, 21 hours there and 21 hours back, and I swear to God, coming home from Florida for a weekend is nothing.
It's like going to London or something, probably, for you.
It really is. It's just like going to London. It's nothing. Because that flight to Australia really makes you think, you know what, two more steps and I'm going to fall off the feckin' planet.
I assume there's no plans to retire, Brendan?
No. I can see them getting the oxygen bottles behind the stage ready for me when I'll be still there doing it.
On the Zimmer frame, yeah.
But the thing is, the nice part about it is I'm playing a part that I can grow into.
Absolutely. I'd never thought of that. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. The older I get, the older she gets, and who cares?
Can you imagine if Mrs. Brown started getting Botox and the pumped up lips and everything? Oh, yeah. That'd be nice.
The breast enhancements,
yeah.
Yeah,
get them lifted.
At the moment, she has to pull down her niggers to scratch her nipples, for God's sake. She needs to get a lift and separate.
She can become a social media influencer then when she has the boobs done. Brendan, it's been great chatting. Thanks so much for talking to us today from Florida.
Great to talk to you.
And we'll see you soon when you're home. Thanks a million.
God bless you, Trina.
Cheers.
Bye, love.
This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.